Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here today. I'm blessed to be anywhere, but I'm especially blessed to be in the house of God with God's people on God's day. And I pray that the Lord speaks to every one of you, every one of us. You know, you're not here by mistake. You're not here on some accident. God brought you here and put you in this place so that He might speak to your heart. I'm so grateful for God, aren't you? Especially on this weekend. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Matthew 27. Or maybe you've got a phone or a tablet or some other Bible app. We're going to be in Matthew 27. And when you find verse 45, let's stand in the honor of reading of God's Word. Matthew 27. And I'll start there at verse 45. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, hold on, Pastor. All right. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there when they heard that said, this man's calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on bread and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Let's pray together. Father, your house shall be called a house of prayer. And in a mode and a atmosphere of prayer this morning, we just want to make much of our Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is alive forevermore. And so, Father, I pray that His Spirit that dwells within us might make Himself so manifest here today that we will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we have been with Jesus. Help us, Lord. Minister to us. And may we be a blessing to you. For it's in His great resurrection name we pray. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Thank you. I want to talk to you this morning about eyewitness evidence. On that first Easter weekend, there were several things that happened 2,000 years ago. And the things that happened changed history. If we were in a court of law today, the most prized piece of evidence would be eyewitness evidence for the prosecution. Am I right, Julie? I mean, that's pretty much what the prosecution is, eyewitness evidence. It's huge. And I want to talk to you about the eyewitness evidence that we have concerning the resurrection and the death and the burial and all of those events that took place on Easter weekend 2,000 years ago. I was an eyewitness to what I considered to be a crime a few years ago. I was in a seminary Greek class one summer. And we were learning Greek vocabulary, and every Friday we had a test over about 50 Greek vocabulary words. And so that Friday, our professor handed out the test, and in the middle of the test, I kind of looked over, and my buddy, who was also a minister in training, if you will, a student minister, he had a cheat sheet up underneath that vocabulary test. I'm like, what, this doesn't add up, you know. But I didn't say anything. Well, on Monday morning, the professor handed out the vocabulary grades for the test. And this rascal was the only one in the class that made 100. Well, you know me. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. So after class, I said, "Hey, dude." I said, "What'd you make on your test?" And he proudly said, "I made 100. I said, "You know why you made 100? He said, "No, why?" I said, "I saw you. You had a cheat sheet under your vocabulary test." He said, how did you know that? You can't prove that." I said, "I saw it with my own two eyes." And I said, "Furthermore, do you think our professor would agree with my eyewitness evidence?" And he kind of dropped his head and came clean. And I just left it there. And that young man never cheated again that I know of in that seminary class. Eyewitness evidence. What is it going to take for us to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What is it going to take for us to believe in the Christian faith? Well, one of the last survivors who was an eyewitness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was the old apostle John. And he said way over there in 1 John, "That which we have heard with our ears, that which we have seen with our eyes, and looked upon and handled with our hands, we bear witness." We bear witness. And so I want to talk to you about this eyewitness evidence of the events of Easter weekend. And if y'all will get with me and give me a little help, I'll do better. Okay? So let's dive in and look at this. Now, the first piece of evidence that we have of the events that took place on Easter weekend, you find in verse 45, he says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land." Jesus died in the darkness. Jesus died in darkness. Now, the scripture tells us that on Friday, Jesus hung on that cross from 9 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But more significantly, from 9 to 3, it was light. But from noon until 3, it was dark. Darkness came upon the land for those last 3 hours, from noon to 3 o'clock. You know, and some unbelievers have said that, well, those 3 hours just happened to be an eclipse. Well, it was Passover. And in Passover week, that was controlled by the fullness of the moon. How many of you know you can't have an eclipse when you've got a full moon? And so that takes care of that. And then others have said, well, they probably had a dust storm and it was black for 3 hours from that dust storm. Well, I want to tell you what happened. God turned the lights out. God turned the lights out. You say, why? Because for the first time in all of eternity, the Father and the Son were separated. Because during those 3 hours, the Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, sin darkens the presence of God. Oh, let me say that again. Sin darkens the presence of Almighty God. The Father turned his back on the Son. That's why Jesus is crying out in these verses, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you walked away from me? Why have you forgotten me? Because God the Father is the thrice holy God of the universe. And when His Son became sin, took on our sins, He could not have anything to do with it. And He walked away and darkness fell upon the land. Eyewitness evidence. Eyewitness evidence. And you may not quite get this, but until you come to Christ, you're living in darkness. Amen. Spiritual things don't mean anything to you. You're living in darkness. And you know, Jesus is the light of the world. And He came so that you might have spiritual, that spiritual darkness might be removed and that you might become the light of the world along with Him. Amen. You know, have you ever been sharing with somebody who just didn't get it? Well, it's because they're in darkness. That's why. And so, the first piece of evidence that those Easter events are true is that, man, Jesus died in darkness for you and for me. That's eyewitness evidence. And everybody saw it. They wrote about it. There's more evidence for the death of Jesus Christ than all the Roman Caesars that ever lived. It really happened. There's a second piece of evidence, though, that is really amazing. Are you ready for this? Well, two of you are. You only get out of worship what you're willing to put in, folks. Look at verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His spirit. Then, behold. Now, that's Greek for folks who live in in Montgomery County that would say, look a here. That's what behold means. Watch this. Don't miss this. Lean in. He says, listen, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Now, listen to this. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Whoo! I'll get to that point in just a minute, but When Jesus died, one of Israel's national monuments was torn in two. In the temple, in the great Jewish temple, you had in the back was a room called the Holy of Holies, and that's where God presided. The Shekinah glory of God was there. And only once a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies. And he had to follow all the rules and regulations and the laws and the commandments of God in order for the sins of the people to be pushed forward one more year. And so you had this huge temple veil, this curtain in the middle of the temple, and it was 30 feet tall, 60 feet wide, and was as thick as your hand. Over 100 priests, when it got time to clean it or move it or whatever, it took over 100 priests to deal with it. Well, when Jesus took His last breath and gave up the ghost and died, the Bible says an earthquake shook the foundation of the temple. So much so that this national monument, this temple veil, this temple curtain which weighed thousands of pounds, was torn in two, torn asunder from the top to the bottom, symbolizing that man could now go, anyone and everyone could go into the presence of Almighty God. We today don't get that because it's just natural for us to enter into the presence of God. But because of what Jesus did, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus opened the way for us unto God. Aren't you thankful for that? And now you can come to Him with Holy Ghost boldness and make those requests of Him that you need to make and ask for forgiveness and all the things that entail coming into the presence of Almighty God. That temple veil was torn into. Can you imagine some priest there and the foundations of the temple are shaking and he's got the last sacrificial lamb in his lap and he's about to go in and lay it on the altar and all of a sudden the veil opens up. And now you no longer need temples and curtains and veils and altars and sacrificial altars, that kind of thing. Jesus opened the way for each one of us. We don't get that because we don't live under the sacrificial system any longer. But I want to tell you, I've come here today to tell you, anyone and everyone can come into the presence of Almighty God. But you got to come to God His way. And the only way you can come to Jesus is by repentance, turning from your sin, and turning to Him by faith and saying, I'm yours and you're mine. Amen. That's true biblical salvation when that happens. And then you're different. You start living a life that's different. And people know it and people see it because He's making those internal changes in our life. Somebody was fussing at me one day and I just said, well, you got to be patient with me. And he said, why is that? I said, because God's not done with me. He's still working on me. Amen is right. And so Jesus opened the way to God. Whew. But I think this last point is the one y'all are all wanting to get to. Look at verse 53 and 54. Again. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and rocks were split, and graves were opened. Now that's real significant. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, in other words, who had died, were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, when Jesus died, the temple veil was torn in two, and now it was anyone could go into the presence of God. You didn't have to have a priest. Hallelujah, because we got a high priest. His name is Jesus. And then something supernatural happened as well. Graves all around the place, outside of Jerusalem evidently, opened up. And you had a resurrection of some Old Testament saints who sprang from death to life. The Greek word here is anastasis, which means to stand up again. And so evidently all of this happened after the Lord was raised, after His resurrection. These graves that had been opened up, these resurrection Old Testament saints went in to Jerusalem, to the holy city. Well, what did they do there, Brother Cal? Well, duh, what do you think they did? They gave witness to the fact that Jesus was alive again. You say, well, who were these Old Testament saints? I don't know. But one of them could have been old Job. Can't you just hear Job walking through the streets? Shall a man live again? I know my Redeemer lives. He's the resurrection and the life. Can't you just hear the old prophet Isaiah? As he walks through the city streets, hey, Jesus is the one I was writing about. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by His stripes, we have been made whole. Jesus is the one I was writing about. I got to thinking about all this, you know. And by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were eyewitnesses of all this as well, along with hundreds of others. Now, it may have been that some of these were the 500 brethren that Paul talked about over there in 1 Corinthians 15. That's another sermon, another time. But let's just put it in these terms. Let's just say that you were up in our nation's capital. Do y'all know what our nation's capital is? I saw something on CNN the other day. They were interviewing a bunch of people and they were asking questions like, who is Thomas Jefferson? And these folks didn't even know who Thomas Jefferson was. And they're asking, who is George? I don't know who George Washington was. I'm like, what planet did you grow up on? But anyways, y'all know where our nation's capital is? What is it? Washington, D.C. Okay, thank God we got that right. And so let's just say that you were in Washington, D.C. one weekend, and all of a sudden, it's midnight at midday. It all grows dark. And while it's dark, you're standing there in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and all of a sudden the ground begins to shake, and the Lincoln Memorial splits in two. And the next thing you hear happening, there's a bunch of dead bodies over here in Arlington National Cemetery, and they get up out of the graves and come into the city streets of D.C. And you're seeing them. You're an eyewitness to all of that. Well, you've just witnessed the greatest event in the history of our nation's capital. That's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago, Easter morning. All of these dead saints were raised. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and hundreds of others were eyewitnesses to this. And by the way, Matthew was writing this gospel that he was writing were to people that lived in Jerusalem. There was no refuting this. It actually took place. So, what is it going to take for you to believe? What is it going to, you know, Pilate didn't believe. He saw all of this stuff and he didn't believe. And Jewish historians tell us that Pilate later committed suicide and jumped off a cliff. The high priest and most of the temple priests saw all the things that happened. They didn't believe. What's it going to take for you to believe? Well, I want to tell you, there's an even greater piece of eyewitness evidence. One of those pieces of evidence is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is right here today. Do you sense His presence? Yeah. He's here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. You will never be the same. You've got the testimony of the Holy Spirit. You've got the testimony of the Word of God. Amen. Why do you think this is still the best seller and it's thousands of years old? Because it's the Word of God. It's true, every word in it. Oh, you may not understand it all, but one of these days you'll be so glad you believed it all. And then you've got the testimony of the church. Why is the church here? Because Jesus died for our sins. And He was buried so our sins might be put away. And He was raised from the dead, never to die again, so that you could have life. Maybe the greatest piece of evidence is right in here this morning. Changed lives. Changed lives. We've got Exhibit A all through Exhibit Z in here today. There's old Paul Hedrick back there. Here's Cal Hampton. Do you think they would have ever found us two in a church house somewhere, much less with me preaching 40 years ago? Huh, Gary? No. Well, what's made the difference? The fact that Jesus got up out of the grave and I placed my trust and faith in Him. Changed lives. That's one thing people can't argue with. Amen? Instead of picking on me and Paul, I could have called on every one of y'all. Right? Because all of us, at one point in time, were living in spiritual darkness. Amen. Separated from God because of our sin. But the moment the Spirit of God began drawing and pulling and wooing you, and you ask God to forgive you of your sin, and you turn from that, and you turn to Him and Him alone for your salvation, and trusted Him with your life, right then, I believe, is when a person gets born again. And the Spirit of God comes to take up residence in your life, and He begins to change you and make you more like Jesus. Because you know, you were created for God's glory. Did you know that? Look at your neighbor and say, glory. You were created for God's glory. What's it going to take for you to believe? Jesus has gone to your hell for you so that you wouldn't have to go. I get so tired of hearing people say, well, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? Folks, we were already headed to hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. He sent His Son so you and I wouldn't have to go there. He created hell for the devil and his angels. I'm preaching another sermon now. Goodness. But I tell you, I want others to have what we have. I do, man. I want everybody in here to have peace with God and peace with yourself and peace with others. I so desire for you to have purpose and meaning in your life and know that you're not some accident, that you're not some old dirty piece of stuff that Diana was singing about, that God can make you whole and He can make you clean and He can make you what He wants you to be. And one of these days He'll call you up and you'll be with Him forever and ever. And can y'all imagine what heaven is like? Glory to His name. What's it going to take for you to believe? He died in the darkness. That's eyewitness evidence. He opened the way so that anyone and everyone could come to God. That's eyewitness evidence. And Jesus not only raised Himself from the grave, He raised some others so that they could bear witness to Him. I just believe there's some folks here today and you're ready to trust Christ with your life. You've tried everything else and it doesn't last, it doesn't work, and you're ready to try Jesus. Well, guess what? Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." In other words, if you'll come to Him His way today, He will receive you. That's what the Word of God says. But you got to come to Him in the right spirit, broken, knowing that you can't fix yourself, that He's the only way. And if you'll give everything that you are to everything that He is, boom, I'm living proof. God will receive anyone. Let's pray. Father, I've had a hard time landing this plane today. But I know that I know that I know there are some people here that want to trust you for the very first time and surrender their heart and life to you. If you're here this morning in the quietness and stillness of this moment, every head's bowed, every eye closed, if you'll pray and you're under conviction about your sin, and you need what I've been talking about, if you'd be willing to say, "Father, I'm a sinner. I know my sins have separated me from You, but I don't want that anymore. And I believe that Your Son died for me so that I could be forgiven of my sin. He took my place. By faith, I believe that. And I give you my life. I trust you. Take control of my life. It's yours. Oh, thank you for saving me here this morning. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Now, if you really meant business with God about that today and you prayed right there in your seat, you have begun a brand new life. This isn't a fresh start or a new beginning, anything like that, or turning over a new leaf or a fresh coat. Brand new life. God just saved you. If you really believe and you really meant business with the Lord, He came to take up residence in your heart, in your life. You don't ever have to pray that prayer again. God's already there. And now, all you've got to do is take your stand for Christ Jesus. We had two young adults that did that last Sunday, and there's others this morning that need to do that. And so by faith, I want to ask those of you that prayed to receive Christ this morning that you ask God to save you for the very first time and only time that you need to pray that prayer. I want you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, look right up here at me. Just look right, amen. Look right up here at me. If you prayed this way for the first time, now I want you to do something else by faith. I want you to raise your hand. Just wait, raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Raise your hand. You've prayed and received Christ today. And you said you prayed to receive Christ. Do you know that He loves you? Do you love Him? Raise that hand if you've done that today. I know that I know that I know there are many in here that need to do that. Father, give us the Holy Ghost courage to be obedient today, right now, in the sight. Because it really doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. What matters, God, is what you think. Help us, God, right now to take our stand for Jesus. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or anything. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So God, today I pray that you'd raise people from death unto life. Do it today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an invitational hymn. And some of you prayed to receive Christ this morning. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. Don't let him keep you in your seat. Take your stand for him today. He'll stand for you one day if you'll stand for him today. Oh, that's good, y'all. He will. And what I want to ask you to do, one by one, just come on when we stand to sing. Just come down to here front, to the front. I'll be here to greet you. I'll be here to shout amen with you. And then we want to take, we want to give you some stuff that'll help you get started right in your new life with Christ. We'll talk to you about your baptism. We'll talk to you about some other issues, some other things that you need to be willing to. Hey, it's not your life anymore. It's His. And He's going to do with you what He wants to do. We want to help you, okay? We want to praise God with you. But you've got to step out and come to do that.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.